Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're now listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 54. Nolan, 54. Kenny, what is the sickest you've ever been? I don't want like gross and disgusting details or anything like that, but I do need to know what made you so sick and how sick were you actually?
One time I like dunked on this one guy, what? And he was like,
"You're so dumb."
Oh, wow. Took me a little bit. I thought it was going to lead to like an injury where you fell down and then you're puking your guts up or something.
Like you thought he actually dunked on a guy?
Yeah.
Two things come to mind for me. Probably the like worst overall was food poisoning.
That's the worst.
Ate some undercooked chicken and it's just bad.
Very.
Like you just have like 24 hours plus of just, you know, the constant vomit and the everything bad.
And then the other?
The most painful was I had a kidney stone and that hurt like
you did? I didn't
that
know.
Hurt
never
like
had one.
That hurt like getting dunked on by Nolan.
Oh, right.
Oh, man.
Right.
I don't think it was a really severe one, but it still is like so painful.
No, any kidney stone is severe.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that happened to you, Kenny.
No, yeah, you've never had a kidney stone, right?
No, I haven't.
Nor have I, but what have you had?
Mine's actually food poisoning too.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's what you would call it, but I ate some undercooked steak. And yeah, I was just out of commission for it was only one day, but it was just like miserable. Like you go through cycles of like, okay, it's time to go throw up now. And then you just go lay on the floor in pain. And then when you think it's over, you just, have to wait for the
started.
Next session. Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. My time, like the only major time that I've been really sick was when I got food poisoning and
I
ate at a buffet, which I generally steer clear from, but it was work related. And so I knew it would be bad when I had to shuffle through the plates to try and find one that was not stained brown. And yeah, it was a bad experience altogether. And then I was fine for hours. And then that evening I was about to get up and speak in front of like 100 people. And then I started to sweat. My stomach started to hurt. My nurse friend gave me a vial of liquid that would prevent me from throwing up so that I could try to go on stage anyways. A potion.
You got a potion.
So, but listen, I went on stage to try to speak and then 5 minutes in, I about passed out. And so I asked one of my staff to get up and take my spot on stage and finish it for me and then went to just lay down in the bathroom for hours. And the miserable thing was that I never was able to throw up.
Because the potion worked? And so
yeah, the potion worked.
Oh, no, so you're just in constant pain.
Yeah,
relief.
Just terrible.
That's like the worst sickness for some reason.
There's probably worse sickness because
well, yeah.
None of us have ever had like measles, dysentery, exhaustion, and typhoid all in one setting.
Kenny's had dysentery.
while bitten by a snake.
Which is quite possible in our retro game of the week, the Oregon Trail.
Overview.
I approve of this week's segue. Well done. And I feel like riding a segue would have been faster than a cart.
All right. Yeah.
How
yours,
many?
Yours was better.
You're doing
yours
it this
was better.
Early in? We're not even 5 minutes deep.
We got to get started on the right foot.
The Oregon Trail was developed in 1971 and produced in 1974. That
so early.
Is an early video game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an educational video game. And it was probably one of the first video games that a lot of us have ever played. Do you guys recall any other kind of educational computer games from your childhood?
Yeah.
I do. So there was a Spider-Man one that I had on DOS. That
Spider-Man?
Was, mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And I almost wouldn't call it educational, but it was. Like, it had, like, the little games, and you could paint in it, like, pretty much like MS Paint.
Yeah.
And there's, like, an Egyptian one. I don't think it had, like, a I don't remember the name of it, but it was just Egyptian themed and it was like counting and stuff.
My two primary ones were Number Munchers, which you were little monsters and you had to munch on the numbers, and then Carmen Sandiego games, guys.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Oh, those were good. We had a bunch. Our school had like a pretty decent computer lab, like for an elementary school in its day. And so I remember like, I don't know, a game called, like, I don't know, like Math Blasters, I think was a really common one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was one that we like created rockets and you like flew to space and it was cool. You like customized your rocket and based on your components, you had to like hit certain heights of travel. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was really fun. And then some like basic programming games, and I don't know, that we had a whole bunch of different things.
The space one that you said reminded me of like the biggest one. I can't believe I forgot, but we had a Magic School Bus learning game. Sure. And it was so great.
Being so early of a game, you might be asking, what particular console is this? Well,
nah.
I mean, PC Master Race has always been a dominant force in gaming, even at the earliest stages. So in 1971, this game came out on the HP 2100. And then in 1985, so over 10 years later, the Apple II. Like, that, wow. The Apple II was the second console it came out in over 15 years later.
Yeah.
And so most of you, honestly, if you played with us this week, probably played the Apple II version or later. You didn't even play the earliest version,
right?
Which is just mind blowing. It was published by Broderbund, which is the same company that produced Lode Runner and Prince of Persia, two games that we've already played as a part of our podcast.
Nice.
So yeah, some quality and long-lasting games. And this game is simply about what the title is. It's the journey along the Oregon Trail. The real Oregon Trail was one of the main migration routes in North America. Let me drop a little bit of history on you.
Here it comes.
So in the mid-1800s, most travelers would gather up their party, and then they would leave sometime in April or May and follow rivers and streams across the continent. And they would travel in wagons, on foot, on horseback, take boats and rafts, all to establish new farms and businesses and lives in the new Oregon territory. And so it would usually take about 4 to 6 months traveling time, and this game is just a recreation of what it might have been like along the journey. And so you assume the role of a wagon leader guiding your party of settlers from Independence, Missouri to Willamette Valley in Oregon.
I love that this game was a learning game for kids, because like it's totally not like Timmy. It is, but like, okay, it is a learning game, but I don't know. It became so much more, and I think it was on accident, and I love what it has become.
I think it was on accident. It was only on accident that it got really popular because they included hunting.
Well,
I don't
it
know
was
if you
not
guys
popular because of the hunting.
No,
Kenny.
It's
you guys
that's
didn't
the
have
weakest
you guys
point
didn't
of
have,
the game.
No, all my friends in elementary school, maybe I just hung out with like losers and tools, but like they would play Oregon Trail and they would play for like 5 or 10 minutes and they would just hunt like it was a mini game, and then they would get bored when they killed all the buffalo and couldn't shoot anything faster
and
they
run out of ammunition.
You know, go back to picking their nose or something.
That's the worst way to play this game.
I felt like that was the popular way to play this game as a kid.
It's because it's an adventure game. Like, it's a pick your adventure game, and yeah, you can learn stuff, but I don't know. There's just so much charm about it that separated it from like the intended purpose, in my opinion.
Gameplay.
So in this game, you take actions by typing in numbers. It's not like you're in control. I mean, don't think of your typical video game like it's not a platformer. It's nothing like that. It's really just kind of a text adventure with a few graphics. And so you type in your numbers and you begin the game by setting up your party, naming your party, and then spending money that you have on food, clothing, oxen, wheels. I'm assuming, guys, that you two probably played the Apple II version, maybe even the DOS version. What class, what did you choose? Did you choose a banker, a farmer, or a...
Carpenter. I was a carpenter from Ohio. I don't know why.
Kenny?
I ran a couple of different things. When I was tryharding, I was a doctor.
Okay, so that wasn't one of the three options. So you
oh,
played,
no, I played
the
DOS
deluxe
version.
Oh,
I played the Windows. It was either the Windows 3.1 version or the DOS version.
Yeah, I played a later version, because in the original or in the
three.
Apple II at least, there are three, and the only difference between those were the amount of
starting
money
amount
that
of
you
money.
Started the game with,
yeah.
Which also had a difference in the multiplier at the end of the game when it was trying to determine your high score. As a banker, you begin with, I think, 1,600 gold, the carpenter, money, and then somewhere in the middle is the carpenter, and then the farmer starts with 400.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Right. Which
so
is,
those are
so
basically it, the difficulties.
Difficulty levels, exactly.
Oh, interesting.
You could tell educators had their hands in the game, though, because later on, the, like, poor me, poor profession that you could choose if you wanted to only start with a little bit of money was teacher.
That was the lowest profession?
Wow.
Yeah, that was like the poorest paid that oh you gosh. Had to like start with the least money
we
to
political
you know,
boys
to make it all the way up there.
What'd you do, Dustin?
I did banker.
Banker,
I mean,
gotcha.
Yeah, before I even realized that they were the difficulty levels, I just wanted to do banker in the first place.
Yeah, but it's kind of more appealing than the other two.
It's definitely a lot more easy because you can literally buy everything you need in the starting town and then not have to purchase any items again.
Yeah, that is nice because I had to think about it for a while. I only had 800 to spend.
The second time I played through, I chose the farmer and realized how much more difficult that was going to be, but it
completely
opened up a whole
different.
New challenge.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, like it gives you a whole new way to play. Like you've got to think creatively. You'll have to go out and hunt. I mean, it just becomes a much more difficult and thought-out game.
What were your starting purchases? I mean, you may not remember all of them, but like, what did you do when you only had 400?
Still, just my primary focus was food. I think I'd played the game enough to know
that's
that
really
food
important.
Is really the most important commodity. And clothing, I didn't need as many. I didn't need as many of those because a thief would usually come steal most of them anyways. So
plus, we know you kind of roleplay.
So I just went along the trail naked, is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. With my full party, right?
Yeah, just...
Of Croc, Ozma, Dustin, Kara, that's my wife, and Baby. That was
that's a good party.
Crew.
That's a good
yeah,
party.
Croc died immediately on the first river crossing. Ozma broke her leg early in the trip, but I think I made it across with the rest of the crew pretty pretty cleanly.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely got mad at the first river as well. My fiance was in my party and she immediately drowned. We were walking in like 2 feet of water or something obscene. Maybe it was like three.
And she drowned.
And like the wagon just, you know, splits everywhere and she drowns and I'm like, okay, well, this trip's not going to be fun anymore.
Right. Maybe it's a sign.
The only thing that happened to me was that my food got wet and I lost a day on the first river.
You didn't
lost
on
a
the first
day.
River. Yeah. Did you lose anybody in your party along the trip?
So my party was Kenny 2, Kenny 3, Kenny 4.
You just wanted to see me suffer.
And
so
they
you tried
all
your best to kill everyone off.
Well, they did. I didn't try. It just happened.
Everybody pretty much dies unless you're really careful.
My first playthrough was my best one. I got to Fort Boise, and I just started going to impassable trails, and Kenny 4 died first, and then the rest followed.
I've always had a hard time with Kenny 4. Yeah, he's a troublemaker.
See, I said that my entire party made it except Croc, and that's true, but Dustin got sick 5 times. Not even kidding. Like one after another. No one else. Like Ozma broke a leg, but it over and over again, it was like Dustin got exhaustion. Dustin got the measles. Dustin got typhoid. Dustin got typhoid, and then Dustin got dysentery. And so like that was my. At least I survived. I just had a miserable trip down the Oregon Trail.
That's like torture. Kenny 1, the main Kenny, got dysentery, and then like a couple seconds later, it said Kenny died.
It happens.
Is that like
so
the worst?
Sometimes.
Is that the worst disease in the game?
You know, I don't know. I'm sure they've got different levels of or different stats of
like how
they can take you, but
sure.
I don't know what they are. I mean, I know that there's so you can break legs, you can fall ill, you can drown, you can be bitten by snakes.
It's a whole bunch of terrible things. Yeah,
I love the realism there. Like even in that like you can have all these sicknesses, you can get better, or it can take you, and then your party can have a quick funeral for your dead family member, shed a few tears, and then you got to get back on the trail. Like
that's what I'm saying about this game being like just the fact that those options are in there and those possibilities exist. It's like you have to look at it differently than just a simple educational game.
You're saying it's more than just an educational game about the Oregon Trail, that it's really like an allegory for life?
Yeah, it's got some really deep meanings in there that you have to uncover.
Yeah, like always shoot the bison.
What is your thing? Let's talk about hunting. Yeah, why do you keep bringing it up? Dude, hunting is not intuitive in this game. It's not easy. And then even when you hunt, you can only bring 100 pounds of meat back to your wagon.
The limitation on what you can bring is so frustrating.
So it's not even really worth it. Is what you do in the Apple II version is you use the arrow keys or you can use the number pad and you can move around. You press enter to and your character starts walking. You have to press enter again to stop your character, and then you have to use the number pad or the arrow keys to turn in the right direction, shoot a bullet, and hopefully hit one of the animals that are passing by. It's not the easiest.
It isn't a shooter.
When you start playing the later versions, you know, and I specifically chose to play the version like that I played as a kid for that nostalgia bomb. When you play something where hunting is mouse based, it becomes a completely different ballgame.
Oh, so it is mouse based. Yeah, what you play?
I played, it's just directional, and then you press a button to shoot.
Much harder.
Yeah.
One of the coolest things is when you get right to the end of the game, and Nolan, I'm not sure, it sounded like you may have not gotten there, at least on one of your playthroughs, but when you get to a final decision, this game, there's a few times within the game itself that you get to choose which path you're going to take, and you can talk to the people within the town to maybe get some hints, but it's up to you. So some paths might take longer. You might get lost for a few days. Some might be quicker than others. Some might be quicker, but it's not going to have a store to replenish your supplies at, while the other one would. But the final choice is you can either float down the Columbia River or you take the Barlow Toll Road. But if you float down the river this time, unlike any other time, you actually have to, it turns into an actual video game. You use the arrow keys to guide your raft down the river and avoiding the rocks that are in the way. And it is extremely difficult because you can get all the way to the end of the Oregon Trail, come to this river, decide to float down it, hit a rock, crash, die, lose your entire party, and the game is over.
Gosh.
I mean, that's the reality.
It's rough.
Yeah, like while that's fun for a classroom setting, like to actually be able to do that in a classroom setting in elementary school, when I'm trying to actually make it to completing the Oregon Trail, I just simply took the Barlow Toll Road and I was fine.
What's the benefit, or how would you know to do that?
To take the Barlow Toll Road?
Yeah.
Your first playthrough, you're just going to have to decide. I think the Barlow Toll Road takes longer, and so if you're just making your decision based on that, then
I think the game sort of insinuates that one may be safer than the other.
Yeah, but you know what, now that I'm thinking about it, might be off on this, but I think that the original version you had to take the Columbia River, then later in the Apple II version they decided to also add the Barlow Toll Road so that you didn't have to just completely lose your game in that final task.
That makes sense.
Travel for 6 months and then have a video game stump you.
So Nolan, you didn't make it to Willamette Valley. Kenny, no. Did you not either?
No, I did a bunch of playthroughs. I completed some of them everybody died, some of them I got frustrated and turned it off and started again. I don't think I ever made it with every party member intact, which was my goal.
That's hard.
Yeah, that's
but
difficult.
I had at least one like full party wipe. And then I had an arrival that I felt decently good about, and then a little bit of everything in between. Kara kept wandering off. I brought Dustin and Kara with me, and
yeah, she would do that.
It was pretty annoying.
So one last thing on gameplay. This game was text-based, and last week we played a text-based game. So I'm curious because I had such a better time with this game, and it was text-based compared to last week's. And I'm wondering why that is. Do you
think it's just nostalgia?
No, I don't. No. I really don't. I took that into consideration because obviously this reminds me of playing it in elementary school. But no, it's more playable is my thought on it. And I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
Part of the problem with the other is like it was text based in how you like interacted and how battles fought, but your movement in the world was based on that 3D image, and so there was this frustration of trying to keep track of where you were. And then also just pacing kinds of things. Like the other one was really fast and almost hard to read. And they just did a really nice job in this one of like keeping things short and succinct. You knew what was going on. You knew when you were, you know, where you were. Like it presented it well. And you weren't depending on, you know, this other graphical thing that, that could sort of be confusing. They just let it really be a text-based game.
I am going to agree with you. And I almost think it's like the font. And that sounds stupid, but
that can be
it's
part of
so
it.
Readable. And the way that they like put phrases in boxes, like when someone, like when something happens, you get a snake bite or something. A box will come up and say that. And I don't know, just the way it's laid out and presented to you on the screen made me feel more comfortable just reading and moving through the game with text. I don't know. It's weird.
I think it's just a better... They did better with helping you tell your own story along the Oregon Trail. With the other one, I felt there was too much... freedom. I don't know. Freedom might not even be the word, but too much liberty there to just create it on your own and use your own imagination. Here, they at least reeled it in some to give you a framework with which to develop what happened with your party. And in doing so, and then the challenge that was there, I don't know. I just think that this one was obviously so much more appealing and so much more welcoming to the new player.
Aged.
This game is old, probably, actually definitely the oldest game that we played. Is that correct?
I think that's correct.
I believe so.
And so it has to have aged because in time it has aged. But what do you guys feel in regards to its replayability, its gameplay, the aspects and the interest in the game? How do you feel that the Oregon Trail has aged?
Okay, this one is so unique to me. Strangely enough, I think this game has aged like awesome. I'm taking into consideration like when it was made and why it was made, and that kind of helps the case that it's aged well. So like you've got some graphics in there, like little pictures and even some animations. That's not the impressive part to me. The impressive part to me is that you can, it's so replayable. And that's such a valuable part of gaming nowadays, like with RPGs, really long games, or I mean, maybe not long, but just replayability is a huge factor in modern gaming. And so the fact that this game has that like times 10 is really impressive to me.
Those are fair arguments. Just because it's a little, not like a lot, but a little shallow, a little static, I don't know that it like holds up as a game that I would like continuously like want to play a lot of today. And so this one's kind of in a weird in-between place for me, because it definitely like it has the ability, even being simple, to hold your attention and make you feel engaged. It jumps you into a story and gives you context, and it, you know, it makes sense. The way you navigate in the game all kind of works well. You can tell a lot of thought was put into it, and it definitely has a sort of charm where we're playing through it feels rewarding. But it's also a pretty old game, and not one that I could see myself like continuously entertaining myself with. And so I'm kind of torn on this one. I'm somewhere in the middle.
See, I've got to disagree with you fairly significantly. This is a game that I could see myself coming... not only I could see myself... I do come back to this game. Like, I was reminded when I opened up to play this week that my wife and I... a couple months ago went through the game again. I don't even know what brought it before us to go through again. It's a game that I would come back to, and I have come back to. And not only to mention that this game has been recreated many times over from many systems and many consoles, and it spawned other games in the series, like another one that I grew up playing, the Yukon Trail, which is another fantastic game that when you get to your final destination, you try to dig for gold, and you may find gold and then be able to celebrate, and then you might not find any. So like it's
so funny.
This game this game and the idea behind it, in that it gives you choices and they have real consequences.
They do.
And then also on top of that, in 1974, providing you with visual, some kind of visual graphics. That's ridiculous. And so for those reasons, I think this game has aged extremely well. I don't think it's a perfect game. I do think it has its faults. It has its frustrations. It's limited in scope. But for the time it was released and the limitations that are inbuilt there, I think that this game is still very playable today.
The final shell shock.
So that brings us to the important question, guys. New Game Plus status or not?
Choose the order, Kenny.
I feel like, Dustin, we know your answer, so you go first.
All right. I hate it. Do not give it New Game Plus status.
A twist.
Definitely, I give this game my New Game Plus status. It's a great game. It's easy to pick up. It's a little bit difficult to master, but it's short enough that you can play it multiple times with multiple different outcomes and even multiple different difficulty settings. And all the while, you're learning something. So
yeah,
any chance that I got to play a video game while at school, it was amazing. And this game has fond memories connected to it from then, and it's also a quality game today that I enjoy and that I think many other people would enjoy as well.
That's fair. Nolan, what did you think?
I give it New Game Plus. It's funny because there's like so many people that are against video games because they're violent and because they cause people to go shoot up schools and do this or that. I don't know. There's such a negative connotation for some people with like kids and video games, and it's just so funny to me that this one was put in schools. And it's just, I mean, it's a video game. Kids are playing video games at school, and so like that just makes me happy. And it's a fun game, and like Dustin said, I could easily play this any time of my life. It's easy to play and it's fun. So yeah, New Game Plus.
Well,
that means it gets New Game Plus status, so we'll just move right along.
Bye, Kenny.
I don't get to say. I'm gonna cave to nostalgia and actually agree with you guys that this is a New Game status plus game. New Game Plus status game.
That's catchy. That
this game is smarter than I am. I didn't play enough of it as a child, obviously. No, it's a classic. It does a lot of the things that it does well. It's by no means a perfect game and not necessarily a game that all people would want to pick up and play again today, but it's absolutely a super important game. They made so much money off of it. Everybody's played it. It's hard not to just be like, yeah, this is a good one.
We had a lot of viewers that sent in their thoughts this week. I'll try to read them all. We won't always be able to read them all in the future, but just a lot of good things and a lot of new people adding their commentary this week. So it's very refreshing. Ben Lay actually tweeted us. He said, "Glad that you're playing Oregon Trail. This game held up well. In fact, I power it up every so often at parties and people still play."
Wait.
At parties, dude.
Okay.
Jay Queasy said on Twitter, it might have been easier to actually go to Oregon in real life. Just speaking to the difficulty of this game. Jessica emailed us and said, "Longtime listener, first time caller, finally got my act together enough to play along. In my finest hour in my entire life, I made it all the way." And then she attached some pictures of her destination.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. "Oregon Trail wasn't a school computer game for me. We had Carmen Sandiego, so I have always been mystified by it. I thought it would be harder. Nobody in my wagon died of dysentery. I didn't really figure out the food rationing until about halfway through the trail, and I gave up trying to hunt. The controls were too hard on my laptop to enjoy it. I can see why this would be so nostalgic for people, because it's pretty charming. Thank you for the great podcast. I look forward to playing more DOS games in the future."
Me too.
Well, Jessica, if you need anyone to teach you how to hunt better, Kenny spent the majority of his week hunting in this game, so get with him. Bradley emailed us and he said, "This week I played one of the earliest renditions of Oregon Trail, since there are about 1,000 different versions. Mine was completely text-based with very little graphics at all. And I did it, guys. I finally made it to Oregon, completing the task that my elementary school self couldn't do after years of playing this in the computer lab. My merry band of travelers, myself, Dustin, Kenny, Nolan, and Ozma, made it all the way, except Kenny, who died from a snake bite about 100 miles away from the last milestone."
Love it. Of course.
awesome. This game is actually really fun just because it involves a lot of real history. I mean, it was made by a teacher to teach students. I, for one, enjoy learning a thing or two during my gaming sessions, if I can. And then Matthew wrote, he was also a new viewer. He said, I played two versions. One was Oregon Trail, Apple II, and looked exactly as I had known it from my childhood. However, the second was the Oregon Trail Deluxe, which was DOS. In the Deluxe version, you still have 5 family members, but now instead of just a banker, carpenter, and farmer, you have about 10 different jobs, and most have their own passive bonuses, aside from money and points. Kenny, I think that's the one you played, right?
That's the one I spent most of my time on.
I'm not sure if you guys take viewers NGP Plus votes into consideration after you all make your call, but I would give the original my vote for New Game Plus status, but not the Deluxe. I think that the original is such a classic that almost anyone I talk to knows about it, and though I'm not sure whether it was a breakthrough in its genre, it was a really fun game. I feel like even if you didn't play it to beat it, but only played it a couple times, it's going to give you a laugh. If not the Oregon Trail, there are a few spin-offs, such as the Oregon Trail, that gives the game a zombie theme.
Yep.
Thank you guys for making such an awesome podcast. I'll definitely tune in more often, and I'll try to play the games with you guys to give you my thoughts when I can.
Awesome. Well, welcome. That Sweet, sounds great. Great.
We always love that.
Oregon Trail.
Yeah, it's pretty recent. It's like a parody game, but yeah, it's about zombies and you're in a car with a party and it's silly.
Sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, I'd play it for sure.
Thank you guys for sending in your commentary this week. Feel free, any of you that are listening, to do so next week. You can email us, tweet us, snail mail us, just get the message to us, and we will try to include it in next week's episode. It is that time of the week where we randomly select a game from our Retro Master list to play over the next 7 days, and this game is... is a real-time strategy game, published in 1989, released in North America in early 1990. A Sega Genesis exclusive, so you may have played it, Nolan. Herzog Zwei.
Is it German? What is that?
Yeah, definitely German.
Never heard of this in my life.
Zwei is 2. I don't know what Herzog is, but I don't know. I don't know what
RTS
kind of game
on
it is.
Sega? That's weird.
Yeah.
Kenny, you interested in this?
It sounds unique.
Sounds
no.
German.
No. All right, we're going to click the randomizer again and select it.
I love Sega as a title, and like this isn't one I'm personally familiar with. And so
it's your
I
genre,
think
though.
It'll be fun. I know, real-time strategy's got me hyped. Though real-time strategy on consoles is sometimes really difficult to
like
pull
StarCraft
off.
Like StarCraft on 64.
It lends itself... Oh, yeah, it was the worst thing. It lends itself to PC so much more. That scares me a little, but if you create with that console in mind, and this being like a Sega exclusive, you know, it should have been designed for that, it can work.
If you're not following us on social media, do so, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast, so you can follow along with our journey of finding out what in the world Herzog Zwei is all about. Listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other place that has podcasts. Subscribe so you are the first one to get new NGP episodes. Thank you to our newest Patreon supporter, Ken Gagne, who is a guest that we actually had on to play Load Runner. Yeah.
Shout out to Ken.
And it's interesting that this is the week that he decided to donate when we're playing another Apple II classic. I think that's what's reeling him in.
Yeah, we got to keep up those Apple IIs, those Apple II titles, and he'll stick around.
That's right.
So if you'd like to find out what that's all about, visit us at patreon.com/NGP podcast.
Special thanks to our producer, Bradley, for all of his support in making this a reality. All our other Patreon supporters as well.
But especially Bradley.
We love you guys. Oh, of course. That's why he gets the name drop, because he's as sick as Nolan's hops.
Don't bring it full circle. Don't bring it full circle.
Full circle always works.
Join us next week as we play Herzog Zwei. Until then, I've got typhoid.
I wandered off the trail.
Kenny has dysentery and died.
And this has been New Game Plus.